Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and this is a special class session today because today is class session 500. That's 500 sections of 15 minutes of instruction in the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we have discovered so much about the Bible and learned so much through this attendance in this school. And if you're just now joining, well, you become a student and listen every day after the swap and shop on WBMC, and you will learn so much about the Bible. One of the things we do in this class, in this Bible class, is we go back with great respect for some of the old preachers. And E.A. Elam wrote a series of Sunday school books, and we go back to his Sunday school notes. They're called Elam's Notes. Now, he was a great preacher in this area in his time, and highly regarded as a Bible teacher. And so we have copies of his old Sunday school notes called Elam's Notes, and we go back and refer to them. But another thing we do is that we read from the Rockcliffe Review. Now, this Bible school is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. And the Rockcliffe Review is the bulletin that we pass out on Sunday mornings. And in that bulletin, it has an article. And that article generally has something to do with the sermon to be preached that morning. And this particular Sunday, I was preaching and I wrote this article from the book of Isaiah, where it says, "A king shall reign in righteousness." Let me read this to you, and you'll get a flavor of the kind of preaching that you get if you want to come to some of the assemblies at Rockcliffe. Isaiah is a challenge, in part, because he was given to see so many things that would befall Israel. He saw the failure of Samaria and Damascus to set their puppet king in Jerusalem. He saw the rise of Assyria, the carrying away of the northern tribes into captivity, and the rescue and survival of Jerusalem. He foresaw the fall of Assyria, the rise of Babylon, the destruction of Jerusalem, and the scattering of the Jews. Further yet, he was given to see the return of the people to their homeland and rebuilding of their city. And even yet beyond, Isaiah spoke of the establishment of a kingdom greater than all the kingdoms that had come before. This latter kingdom would be a spiritual kingdom. The king of this spiritual kingdom would, Isaiah 32 and verse 1, reign in righteousness. With the continued failures, corruptions, and disappointments of earthly rulers, Isaiah filled his hearers with a hope for a righteous king. There is no New Testament. This is that statement tying the king of Isaiah 32 with Jesus, but looking through the long story of history, there is no other that fits this prophecy so well. When Isaiah says, "Princes shall rule in judgment," my mind goes to Matthew 19:28, where Jesus said to his apostles, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." These apostles would rule through their teachings, and through their teachings they still rule. This kingdom would be a refuge for the righteous. "A man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that shall see shall not be dimmed, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly." Isaiah 32:2-4. It is because of these words that we sing the hymn, "Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Jesus is a rock in a weary land. a shelter in the time of storm. And then we read Isaiah 32:5-8. And we see that in this kingdom, a vile person will be contemned. That means they'll be held in contempt. Here's the text. The vile person shall no more be called liberal, nor the cruel said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the souls of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the cruel are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speak right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things he shall stand. By the cruel in these verses, we're talking about the one who hoards all things only for himself. And the liberal here is the one that is bountiful in his giving and seeking the benefit of others. Isaiah have words of warning for the spiritually complacent of his day, especially for those spiritually complacent women. Let me read Isaiah 32:9-14. Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear to my speech. Many days and many years shall be troubled, ye careless women. For the vintage shall fail, and the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth on your loins. They shall lament for the teats, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Because the places shall be forsaken, the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for dens forever and ever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. But Isaiah says that when those woes are past, a better day will come. Listen, Isaiah chapter 32, and the latter part. It says, these troubled times will be until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceful habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places, when it shall hail coming down from the forest, and the city shall be in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth hither the feet of the ox and the ass. Now the world continues to be troubled by troubled rulers of worldly things. But in the kingdom of heaven, we have a righteous king. And in Christ, we have a spiritual peace with spiritual blessings and a spiritual prosperity. Well, that was the essence of the sermon that morning at Rock Cliff. Now we read from the Rock Cliff Review, because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's return to that Sunday school lesson we were studying about the book of James. James chapter 1 and verse 27. says pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. This is the only definition of true religion given in the Bible. Religion which presents one pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. One is cleansed from sin and the spots of sin by obedience and faith and trust in the Word of God. Already you are clean, Jesus said in John 15:3, because of the word which I have spoken unto you. And we read in 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another with a pure heart fervently. Thus cleansed, Christians must keep unspotted from the world. Here we should learn what the world is, who it is, its prince, and what friendship with it is, and how to abstain from every form of evil and keep ourselves unspotted from it. But further, the fatherless and widows must be visited in their afflictions. To visit the afflicted ones is to help them in whatever way they need assistance, and it makes the heart sick to have forced upon it the woeful contrast between the sad, pitiful, ragged, and starving condition of numberless widows and orphans and the outward forms and beautiful ceremonies of grand and imposing houses and temples of worship with extravagant and costly religious services in every town, in every city, in what is called the Christian lands. Now with that Sunday school lesson comes to a close. And I turn the page in our little Sunday school book, and I see we have a Sunday school lesson for the Sundays of August 9th, 1925, about the beginning of the second missionary journey. This is the second missionary journey of Paul. The lesson text begins in Acts 15, and it ends in Acts chapter 16. It goes from Acts 15, verse 36, to Acts chapter 16, and verse 5. Let me read that to you at this time. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return now and visit the brethren in every city wherein we proclaim the word of the Lord, and see how they fare. And Barnabas was minded to take with them John also, who was called Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take with him who withdrew from them at Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And there arose a sharp contention, so that they parted asunder one from another, and Barnabas took Mark with him, and sailed away into Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas, and went forth, being commended by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Acts 16 and verse 1. And he came also to Derbe and to Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish that believed, but his father was a Greek. The same was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him Paul would have to go forth with him. And he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those parts, for they all knew his father was a Greek. And as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered them the decrees to keep which had been ordained of the apostles and elders that were at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is Psalm 72 and verse 8. He shall have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Now the devotional reading is the 67th Psalm, which we will look at when we reassemble for our next class. And that'll be class session 501. So make sure you join us for this Bible school.